Richard, in the digital age, using a typewriter as an act of rebellion, that right there caught my imagination. Talk to me about how a typewriter is an act of rebellion.
Well, it didn't used to be, right? It used to be the mainstream and the most efficient way to do things, and most people never really thought twice about them. They were just tools. But now they've become something quite unusual, quite odd, and people will often look at you funny if you do that, because why would you want to do something that isn't the most efficient way to do things? So when I reflected on this, I found that, well, there's your answer. It's a rebellion against efficiency as the only ideal and the only way in which we evaluate our relationship to technology. So if your goal is simply to get something done and put some nice, neat letters on a page or create a digital document, no, I don't recommend using a typewriter. So it's not really the best means to an end anymore, but it's an end in itself, at least for some of us who just appreciate and enjoy it and savor the experience.
Initially, we think of it as efficiency to use a computer versus a typewriter. But we have this way, human nature or what, of filling in quote-unquote efficiency with more tasks, or the same way that the computer age was supposed to eliminate paper waste, and it's worked pretty much the opposite way.
That's right. Yeah, I think we have this recurring fantasy that if we can just get things done faster, then we'll have more free time. But instead, we just get more tasks, and we get wrapped up in this cycle of doing these tasks where very few of them are just ends in themselves.
And this typewriter revolution that you write about, it's not just about nostalgia, is it? In fact, that may almost be the smaller part of it. So what is it about?
That's true. You know, so there are quite a few good books out there about typewriter history, and I deal with that a little bit too in my book. But essentially, it's about the present and the future, because the machines haven't changed that much physically, but their meaning has changed. And I think they're opening up a space in which we can have some distance from the digital paradigm. So I'm not saying, and most of my friends aren't saying, you know, never touch a computer. But when we get wrapped up in this mentality that, you know, digital is always better, faster and more efficient is always better, I think it's quite destructive.
And there's that value of being unplugged and the value of privacy, which in this day and age we've almost entirely lost.
That's true. I find that really alarming. So I would say that the deeper question of privacy is not just who's going to get their hands on our data, and that is something we need to be concerned about, but do we still care about being more than about seeming? So when you're constantly aware that you're being watched, as you are now, everything you do digitally is being constantly archived and analyzed, mostly by machines, not by people, I think your attitude shifts somewhat, and you start being more concerned with your persona than with who you are. So I think it's important to take some time and just do something that doesn't have to be shared with anyone, and that's one function that a typewriter can play.
I wonder, too, about its value as an instrument of creative writing. I've read studies, not about typewriters, but I wonder if it works the same way, studies about writing longhand, another art we seem to be losing, that it somehow connects it to the brain in a different way, that it unleashes creativity in a different way. Is that at all true for typewriting?
I think it is a very individual thing, but I think there is something to that. You know, in my day job, I'm a philosophy professor, and I specialize in Martin Heidegger, who wrote that the essence of writing is handwriting. And so he thought if you compose on a typewriter, a writing machine, you're actually destroying the essence of writing. And I think that's overstated, but there is some truth to that, which is that the way you do things affects just exactly what it is that you're doing. And I personally love to handwrite and type, and also to use a computer for many things. But we should think about the means we're choosing and the tools we're choosing. For me, it was a typewriter or a few typewriters that made it possible to actually complete NaNoWriMo a few years ago, National Novel Writing Month.
Right.
So there is a group of people, we call ourselves the Typewriter Brigade, who try to do National Novel Writing Month by typewriter. And there's a nice little community of them, but there's also that privacy and focus that comes from sitting down at our machines.
So give us a little nutshell of the history of the typewriter.
Well, it was in the early 19th century that people started to think, you know, this could be a useful device. They weren't sure for whom, and maybe for the blind. So the first machine that we know must have worked, it was built in 1808 by Pellegrino Turi in Italy for a blind friend of his. And then there were several often bizarre inventions over the course of the 19th century. In the 1870s, the industry started with a machine called the Scholes and Glidden typewriter. So that was the machine that invented the term typewriter and the QWERTY keyboard. And then in the 1890s, things heated up. Lots of really fascinating competitive designs there. And things kind of got standardized in the 20th century. The last big landmark, I would say, is the early 60s, the introduction of the IBM Selectric, which a lot of people know. It has the so-called golf ball replaceable element, and it's a great machine.
And you personally, Richard, how did you get drawn into this? Where does your love affair with the typewriter start?
I can't remember. I mean, I'm old enough that I grew up in the period when these were normal devices, everyday devices. And my father, who's a professor, used one. And I was always fascinated by it. I thought it was really neat, kind of like a musical instrument that I wanted to touch. And a little over 20 years ago, I began collecting them because I learned about these early 19th century machines, and they just captured my imagination. About 5 years ago, I started to blog by typewriter, and that connected me to the world of contemporary typing and planted the seeds for this book.
Tell us about that collection. It must be quite something.
Yeah, I've got over 300 machines by now, and I do have a Scholes and Glidden, the machine that started it all. That was a machine that was, its most famous user is Mark Twain, not my particular machine, unfortunately, but this kind of machine. Various odd 19th century machines, and I love the portables of the 1930s with their deco styling, or of the 50s with their bold styling that is reminiscent of cars. So I have a wide range, all the way from the Scholes and Glidden to a machine made just a couple of years ago in China.
And who are these other typewriter rebels that you're in this revolution with? Tell us about some of them. Are famous.
Well, Tom Hanks is probably the most famous. He's been a great advocate for typewriters, and I think he's working on a collection of short stories written with his typewriters. There are artists, musicians, such as the Boston Typewriter Orchestra, which is, of course, a percussion group. There are street poets who will just boldly go out there in public with their typewriters and ask for suggested themes for their poetry, or sometimes short stories. And there are people who get together for fun, like the Kalamazoo Typochondriacs. And they have made a social event out of this.
Now, how realistic is it? You must get asked that all the time. You know, a freelance writer, for instance, and that's how I make my living in a great part, too. I can't imagine going back to, although my first work was on a typewriter, so I can appreciate both. But when you have to submit something, when you have to be, well, let's say, efficient, how do you do that? Or is it just that you use the typewriter for some kinds of writing, but when it comes to work writing, you use a computer? How did you approach your own manuscript?
One of my favorite uses for typewriters is brainstorming. And this is, of course, something that requires the luxury of a little time where you're not on an immediate deadline. But if I just have a vaguely formulated idea, I sit down at the typewriter. And the reason I like it is, first of all, if I'm having a little trouble figuring it out, there's no chance of going off to email or eBay. And secondly, I
second guess
myself.
Which is actually efficient.
Yeah. And then I second guess myself less, because it's harder, of course, to change what you just wrote. So you just keep going, and then you see what comes out. And if you get into the flow, that's often a seedbed of ideas that I might not adopt word for word in the finished product, but they're very helpful. So with this book, there were some key more philosophical passages that I did try to work out by typewriter, and I'm glad I did.
Fascinating. So how do you find most of your typewriters, or what's your advice for somebody getting into this as a hobby?
Well, eBay is a really interesting research source, even if you never buy there. So there are thousands upon thousands of typewriters there, and you can sort them by price, which will tell you what's rare or what's considered desirable, and you can see what's most common. You can learn a lot. If you want to buy a machine on eBay, then you have to deal with shipping, which is always a risk, and you can't actually test it before you get it. So probably not the least expensive, but the most reliable source would be a typewriter shop, and these do exist. So on my website, the Classic Typewriter page, I have a list of typewriter repair shops, And there are a couple of hundred of them in the U.S., and many of them will have refurbished machines. Another possible source is Craigslist, where you can find local typewriters that might need a little work, but often you can do that at home.
And just kind of antique shopping, I would suppose.
Sure. And I used to find them a lot in thrift stores, but now that seems to have dried up, and it's more commonly found at antique malls.
What's been your greatest find?
I once found a machine called a Fitch on an obscure Czech auction site, in the Czech Republic. And it was a rusty hulk, but it's an extremely rare, weird 19th century typewriter, and I got it for $5.
And I'm wondering, what's your most common question when people find out this, you know, eccentric, maybe, hobby that you have or your interest? What's the most common question you're asked?
Well, I guess there's the practical question. Can you still get those ink things?
the ribbons.
Yes. And you can. That's an easy one. So anybody can search online for typewriter ribbon, and you'll find that they are still being made and offered. And then people ask, you know, why do you do this? And ultimately, you can't give a rational answer. I think the foundation of this whole thing is that some of us just have fun, and we love these machines. But there are also some rational explanations that add to that, because they do create privacy, mm-hmm. concentration. We get so distracted these days in the digital domain. And they also create a chance sometimes to have deeper interactions with other people. So if you type in public or you send somebody a typewritten letter, that forges a connection.
Yeah, I can see that. But then there's also this ecological argument. We just briefly touched on that, but I'd love to have you go into that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I mentioned earlier, computer age was supposed to eliminate the use of paper, and it seems to have gone completely in the opposite direction. What are your thoughts on typewriters as an environmentalist machine to use?
Well, the case has been made pretty effectively that the typewriters are a green machine. I think people are starting to get used to screens as a replacement for paper. Paper is starting to seem a little quaint, and yet still there are tons of it that go to waste. Computers end up wasting much more paper than a typewriter ever did. And, of course, digital devices constantly need more energy, as do the server farms that power our queries. And the devices themselves are very short-lived. I mean, you may think a typewriter is obsolete, but your smartphone is going to be much more obsolete in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this e-waste. There's some horrible descriptions of people in the developing world breaking open laptops to get at little scraps of gold or other precious metals. It's altogether a pretty unhealthy system. So finding some scrap paper and putting it into your manual typewriter takes no toll on the environment at all.
Taking all that paper that computers produce in one way or another and just using the other side.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice thing to do. It gives you a good feeling about yourself.
There you go. So you're going to be here for, as you said, Kalamazoo Typochondriacs on January 16th. What are we going to hear? What are we going to see?
Well, I'll be reading some from my book, and of course I'll be available to sign it for those who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Typochondriacs have been at this for a while, so they're my hosts there, really, at Kazoo Books, too. They've been meeting, I believe, once a month for a few years, and we'll have a type-in. A type-in is simply typewriter lovers getting together unashamed to use these devices in public. part of it will be a speed typing competition.
Mm.
So we'll have a common text, and we'll just see how quickly we can type it. And that's always
a lot. Do mistakes count?
We have to decide on the rules for that. But it's going to be raucous fun.
I bet. Well, I hope to meet you there. And this is a gorgeous book, by the way. It's well illustrated, well written. It's just, I didn't think that I could get back into typewriters, but after going through your book, I'm getting tempted.
Yeah, we're going to suck you in.
Yeah, I think so. Well, thank you so much, Richard. We'll see you on January 16th.
Thanks. I look forward to it.